This podcast is brought to you by All Family Pharmacy. This is your family pharmacy where you can get ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antibiotics, and even your daily meds, all online. Go to allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie and use code Howie10 to save 10% right now. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie and use code Howie10.
Howie Carr, Boston Herald columnist and radio hitman.
Howie is sort of an insidious force in this area.
By the way, do we have Howie Carr?
He's around here someplace. Where's Howie? Where is Howie?
You know Howie Carr?
Howie, where the hell are you? The legendary Howie. He's got that radio going.
We love Howie Carr, right?
Yeah.
I was referred to today as 1970s Boston.
Hey, paperboy.
It comes from the tabloid talk show stuff in Boston, and it was concocted there.
He's a good guy, isn't he, though?
It's Howie Carr.
We are back on the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Howie. 802 wants to know if this no King's Day things means that January 19th, 2026 will no longer be a holiday, referring, I assume, to the Martin Luther King Jr. Day holiday. Very funny, 802. Nice dad joke on the text line. You can text Howie to 617-213-1066. Or you all know that you can call in to the Chump Line, which is what we'll check now. It is once again time for the Chump Line.
Joe Biden says he doesn't understand why Lieutenant Uhura was presented with Captain Kirk's posthumous Presidential Medal of Freedom when William Shatner is still alive.
Can you imagine if Biden was still there, how confused that he would be? I mean, William Shatner is probably upset that he is no longer the most famous or influential Kirk.
Hey, Aaron, you've said some really stupid things over the years, but yesterday takes the cake.
So Katie Porter, she was looking pretty good. Katie Porter, she was looking pretty good.
I think I'm gonna hurl!
Her chances at being the candidate governor and then the Democratic governor were looking pretty good. I take your point that she was not what I said about Janet Mills, not someone known for her looks. Today's Chump Line is sponsored by Howie's new book, Mass Corruption. Copies begin shipping this month. The story of Karen Reed, Sandra Birchmore, and many other corrupt events in Massachusetts in recent years. Order your copy now at HowieCarshow.com. Click on store.
You know that garbage truck that the Baldwins claimed rode them off the road? Trump wasn't driving that garbage truck, was he?
You know, if he had known that that's what he could do in a garbage truck, I think he'd be tempted. But so far, I think he has an alibi.
Wouldn't it be easier for President Trump to give Zelensky $50 and then tell Putin he just bought the country for $50?
It's interesting, this Viktor Orban thing. There was a story yesterday that the Prime Minister of Hungary, Viktor Orban, had said that he had a planned meeting coming up with Donald Trump, that he was going to meet with him one-on-one to talk about economic issues, which, because the two have a close personal relationship, people had been surprised that it hadn't taken place yet, especially with all the tariffs and everything. So yesterday there had been this story, and of course Orban had been in Egypt. So I had been wondering what was going to happen, where it was going to happen. I mean, because you're waiting for it. You just had the president of Argentina here and Trump giving him $20 billion for whatever, but only if he gets reelected, trying to boost him there. You've seen Trump kind of do what the CIA usually does behind the scenes. Trump's been pretty out front about it. But now you see that it was all part of this deal to get Vladimir Putin back to the negotiating table. They'll be in Hungary. And I think that Trump is creating economic incentives for these other countries to help bring an end to the war in Russia. And I think if you follow the money, follow who Trump is giving money and economic favors to right now, I bet you're going to see them playing a role in the negotiated peace between Ukraine and Russia.
Oyster Man, winner of fame and glory, Oyster Man, legend of song and story. There's nothing in his thighs but darkness in his eyes. No one has a clue what this guy can do.
The new Graham Platner anthem brought to you by the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Maybe he could shuck up the system.
I still can't get over that. That's a real ad that they ran.
I don't think that was a garbage truck at the end of Alec Baldwin's driveway. I think it was J.B. Pritzker. What's the difference?
Oh, I'm so happy that Joe Biden is not president anymore.
Every time Martha questioned Mom Bon Mommy, all she got back was hominy hominy. Just like Katie, Mikey, and Abby, these lefty kooks all speak in perfect harmony.
This is the first time this week that Limerick Guy has been on my wavelength, that we've been on the same story. Limerick Guy, great job. I appreciate it. I think Mom Donnie on Fox News was interesting, and I think that you see that he's not really up to it, and he's being outfoxed, so to speak, but I do give him credit for going there.
The Los Angeles hockey team is really getting worried. With all these No Kings rallies, they're going to have to change their name.
Good point.
Howie Carr's Italian travel vlog, day 4. Today I went to Pompeii, where a volcano exploded when I was at Deerfield. Boring! I then set out to have my first authentic slice of Italian pizza. Fortunately, I had a coupon to Domino's. It tasted just like home.
I gotta tell you, the pizza in Italy is amazing. I would give anything to be eating pizza at, what did Taylor say the name of the place was? That's Amore? Like, I'd be down. I'd be eating the pizza. Forget Domino's. Give me the Italian any day.
That was your last Chump Line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
Today's Chump Line is sponsored by Howie's new book, Mass Corruption. Copies begin shipping this month. The story of Karen Reed, Sandra Birchmore, and many other corrupt events in Massachusetts in recent years. Order your copy now of Mass Corruption, Volume 1. Many more volumes to come. Order your copy now at HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Hey, Aaron, you've said some really stupid things over the years, but yesterday takes the cake.
So Katie Porter, she was looking pretty good. Katie Porter, she was looking pretty good.
I think I'm gonna hurl!
That was the Chump Line. If you want to leave a message for tomorrow, you can call 844-500-4242. Press 2 for the Chump Line. If you want to hear more Chump Line messages, there's always a second Chump Line. You just go to HowieCarshow.com, look for Chop Chumps, or you can find it anywhere you get your podcasts. You know, that Tim Allen, like, you know, sound effect that was in that Katie Porter Chump Line. You know, Tim Allen, like, that's just such, like, a pop culture reference that it's so funny that you hear it and it just takes you back. It shows you how talented he was. I went, what's it, a year or two ago? I went to see Tim Allen down in Boston at one of the theaters there. He was doing a stand-up show. I was supposed to go with Grace and Will. We were going to go. I gave my dad tickets for his Christmas or something, his birthday. I'd given him tickets to see Tim Allen in Boston. We went down around Christmas, and Grace ended up getting sick. They had the flu or COVID or something, and so they didn't end up joining us. But we went down and we saw him and do his stand-up routine. And I have to tell you, Tim Allen has a potty mouth. There were a lot of F-bombs, and they were gratuitous, too. Like, it didn't make any sense. There was just very, like, it was very vulgar. And I didn't realize that Tim Allen had been to jail for being a drug dealer. That was in there. A lot of his humor, a lot of his stand-up routine was about his childhood. And, like, a lot of, like, it was very, very, like, I actually expected more. And so I texted Grace Curley and I let her know that she didn't actually miss much. It wasn't well reviewed. But the funny anecdote that Tim Allen told is that I think when he was when he was in prison or whenever he'd been praying, and he'd been praying that, like, if he just turned his life around, his one goal, he wanted to be on The Tonight Show. And as a stand-up comic, like, you know, you're doing all this comedy and you want to get on. And when Johnny Carson was on The Tonight Show, it was every comic's dream to get the tap from Johnny to come over and sit down on the couch. You do your stand-up, and then if Johnny Carson thought you had talent, he'd invite you to come sit down on the couch. So that had always been Tim Allen's dream. And then when he finally got invited to be on The Tonight Show, it was because he was on Home Improvement. And later when he did the Santa Claus, he's like, I just realized that I need to be more specific with my prayers. If you wanted to be recognized for your comedic genius, for being a comedian, for being in stand up, not for being like this sitcom actor. But you have to look at it, the formula that he created with Home Improvement. Then he went off. He had this movie career. He did the Toy Story movies. Then he came back and he basically pitched the same exact show, but instead of three sons, he had three daughters. Instead of doing a Home Improvement bend, it was like a outdoor, like Cabela's Bass Outfitters type thing. It's basically the same formula, and also crushed it. So the guy's had a very, very successful career, understands pop culture in a way that few people, like maybe Donald Trump, understand. And anyway, there is my one random Tim Allen tangent. Also, shout out to Grace Curley and her husband, Will, and hope that she is enjoying her maternity leave. I was texting with her this morning, and it sounds like everyone is doing well. We'll be right back on The Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Follow Howie on TikTok.
We're looking at TikTok.
At Howie Carr Radio Network.
The name is hot. The brand is hot. Yeah.
Howie Carr is back.
So we've got audio, reporter of asking Trump about the indictment of John Bolton. Let's go ahead and cue it up and play it, Matt.
John Bolton was just indicted by a grand jury in Maryland. Do you have a reaction to that?
I didn't know that. You tell me for the first time, but I think he's, a bad person. I think he's a bad guy. Yeah, he's a bad guy. It's too bad, but it's the way it goes.
That is Donald Trump's reaction to the news that that John Bolton has been indicted by a grand jury in Maryland. So there you have it. We'll learn more about what it was for and all of that as it progresses. I think we'll all be interested to see what were the charges for the classified documents that he had and what is the evidence that they had. I think when it was Trump, we got all the pictures of what they were able to seize and take. And in the Biden case, we knew about the boxes next to the car in the garage. So we'll wait. I'm sure there'll be more. Let's get to today's poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Local Silver Mint. Located in Ware, New Hampshire, Silver Dave will work with you directly. Contact him at localsilvermint.com. Matt, remind us, what is today's poll question and what are the results thus far?
And you can vote in the poll question by going to howiecarshow.com. Who will win the Democratic primary for U.S. Senate in Maine? Janet Mills or Graham Plattner?
I'm interested in your take on this because I live in Maine, and so I've been very impressed that this Graham Plattner character came out of nowhere, right? Came out of nowhere. He's been building momentum. He's got the Mamdani people. They run this fancy spread for him in the New York Times. There's all this stuff that's been happening, and he's gaining momentum. He's a socialist. He's on the trend right now with all these people that are excited about No Kings rallies and taking their kayaks in front of John Roberts' summer home in Maine, and all these people that have been standing out in the in Monument Square in Portland with their sign saying Free Palestine, which I don't know why what those signs do in Maine to accomplish that goal. But so they've got this guy, and then Janet Mills comes in. She's the sitting governor of Maine, universal name ID in Maine. She's been twice elected in Maine statewide. She gets in the race. There immediately this morning in CNN, there's a smear piece against Graham Plattner, with his old posts from Reddit. So you've been hearing this all day on Grace's show and now on Howie's Matt. What is your take? Who do you think is likely to get the Democrat nomination for Maine's candidate to go up against Susan Collins? Socialist Graham Plattner or current governor Janet Mills?
I'd probably say Graham Plattner just because he's younger. I know that he has the hit piece that came out this morning And oh, if they don't find anything more, he probably just coast by on that.
Just Can you give me that Oyster Man jingle that you got from the jump line? I want to hear it again. I think Oyster Man Graham Platner, if you're serious about running, here you go. This is, you might have to count it as a donation to the Graham Platner campaign. And if you do, technically it's from Howie Carr, not Aaron Shadbourne. So when you report it on your FEC filing, make sure you attribute it to Howie Carr himself, not to Aaron Shadbourne. Do you have it pulled up, Matt?
Oyster Man, winner of fame and glory, Oyster Man, legend of song and story. There's nothing in his thighs but darkness in his eyes. No one has a clue what this guy can do.
I mean, that's not bad. I think there are things that the Howie Carr audience is pretty good at. And coming up with a jingle on the fly for a socialist candidate for U.S. Senate is certainly one of them, Matt. So great job. Great job to the caller. Graham Platner, you have my permission to use it. But when you do, just make sure you attribute the contribution on your FEC form to Howie Carr, not to Aaron Shadbourne. I do not need calls from socialists asking for donations in the future. And do they? I mean, that is the funny thing about them, too, is they're the ones that decry money in politics. They'll tell you that we want to ban money, which is really their way of saying they only want to have funding from like socialist organizations, like the union or whatever. Like that's all they want, to be able to spend money in politics. But no company, no business, no individual spending. They just wanted to be able to have the leftist groups, the George Soroses of the world, be able to fund elections. And yet they are the people that you get all the text messages, emails, incessant. I mean, the whole Act Blue fundraising Ponzi scheme is exactly where you find all of these socialists. So they decry it, and then you never, if you ever show up on one of their lists, if someone makes a joke donation in your name or they put in your phone number, you never hear the end from these people. So anyway, make sure that you attribute it to Howie Carr and not to Aaron Shadbourne. But I think, you know, it's really the Mamdani playbook, and that's what we're seeing play out in the race for the Democrat nomination. And I think it's only been, you know, since just about 48 hours that Janet Mills has been in the race, and already we're seeing the hits keep coming against Graham Platner. And I think there's more to come because he's untested. He's never had anyone comb through his history before. And he was probably, you have to say that he had to be ready that Susan Collins, if he made it to the general election, that Susan Collins and the National Republican Campaign Committee would be ready for him, and they would. And so I'm sure he did some work getting ready for it, but he's going to have an early test. He's going to have an early test up against Janet Mills. And I think because it's not Janet Mills and her ability to raise money, although Democrats have been using her since she said to Donald Trump, "We'll see you in court." Democrats nationwide have been using her to raise money from Democrat activists. And I think it must have been successful because I've seen a number of appeals go out using her and her likeness in order to raise money to fight other causes that they're near and dear to. But it's not her ability to raise the money. It's that Chuck Schumer cares so much. This is a proxy war between Chuck Schumer and the Bernie Sanders, AOC, Zohran Mamdani wing of the Democrat Party. So you're going to see everything that Chuck can do, all the stops. And if he's willing to shut down the government to hurt his own programs, to risk everything to keep his position and to stave off a challenge from AOC, or to convince her that he'd like to smother those ambitions in their infancy. If he's willing to do that, you can bet that he's going to pull out every stop to defeat Graham Platner here in the state of Maine to protect that his preferred candidate, Governor Janet Mills, his prize recruit for the season. More Howie Carr Show when we come back. I'm here.
It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242 is the number here on the Howie Carr Show. I am Aaron Shadbourne in for Howie. We are learning more information about the indictments against former ambassador, former national security advisor John Bolton. According to Politico, former National Security Advisor John Bolton was charged Thursday in an 18-count federal indictment with illegally sending classified information to unauthorized people while he worked at the White House and keeping similar documents at his home after leaving government. The indictment contends that Bolton sent more than 1,000 pages of diary-like entries to a pair of unnamed associates on a regular basis while he was handling the nation's most sensitive military, intelligence, and diplomatic matters. Many of these messages contained information designated as classified up to the top secret, sensitive, compartmental information level. Federal prosecutors in Maryland secured the indictment from a grand jury. Bolton, 76, served for more than a year as National Security Advisor during President Donald Trump's first term, but later drew Trump's ire. The charges against Bolton come as Trump has pressured his Justice Department to pursue criminal indictments of his longtime political foes. Former FBI Director James Comey was charged in September. Obviously, we all know about Letitia James, and now we've got John Bolton. The Bolton thing is different, I think, because it's interesting. Let's set Comey aside, because Comey is a hack and a crook, and it doesn't. It seems like there's some they might have rushed that one. So I'm a little bit nervous about it, and I hope there are superseding indictments that come after that one. Letitia James is being gone after for the same thing that she came after Trump on. And Bolton was very, very critical of Trump for mishandling classified information himself. And I'm sure it's just whatever he was emailing, his diary entries or his yoga plans. I'm not sure it was like yoga coordination and wedding plans. Like that's probably what he was emailing about, his diary entries, like Hillary Clinton before him. But these are things that Bolton was quite critical of Trump for and said no one should be able to do it. What I'm interested to see, Matt, do you think that John Bolton, he's been now a darling on CNN, and it's so funny, these people, it's kind of like Joy Behar said yesterday, her boyfriend Chris Christie, Republicans get invited on places, these liberal safe havens like The View or CNN, they get invited on once they attack Trump. Now they've got this newfound respect and they can go and they can be on there. James Comey, he rushed onto CNN and he appeared on it and commented on it, couldn't wait to go. And if you're indicted, stop talking. Don't go on CNN. Don't talk to the press. Like, just let your lawyers do their thing. Free advice from Aaron Chadbourne. I wonder if John Bolton, he's been a frequent commentator on CNN. Do you think, Matt, he'll go on CNN and clear his name?
He's probably getting legal advice to not go on CNN and clear his name.
And by the way, like I'm glad to see him alive and well. I was told by Mike Pompeo and others that once the Trump got rid of his security protection paid for by the American taxpayer, that he was going to be the top target of the Iranian regime. I'm glad that he's alive and well and healthy, and that the American people are not footing the bill for all of these people, these former government people, to be protected for life at the most expensive cost to the American taxpayer. I would be fine, by the way, if there was some sort of like cheaper option than using Secret Service protection for all these people. We say the Secret Service is woefully understaffed, woefully under-resourced. I think they've been giving it more resources now after the assassination attempt on the multiple attempts on Donald Trump, the killings that have taken place of the state legislators, the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I think they're giving more attention to security. I'd be okay, by the way, with private security or some sort of like government, you know, protection program that's cheaper and maybe not quite. Because like, I don't know that we need the Secret Service for people that used to serve in the government. And I think it's the most expensive thing. I think if you are willing to serve your country and you are now the target of these foreign governments who are mad about what you did and they just want to like, I think that, you know, I think some level of security for some period of time, but there's going to be an end to it. And I think that it's also maybe we can find a cheaper way and a less drain on the system and deplete the resources that are needed for the most sensitive targets for continuity of government. There's no threat to continuity of government from John Bolton. But again, if he's being targeted because of service he gave to this country, you want to make sure that you don't give them a soft target to target. So I don't know. Maybe they can target him when he's in jail. Do you think if he had still had his Secret Service protection? Remember how if they had all these talks about like if Trump went to jail for all the stuff they were after him for during Lawfare, if Secret Service would have, you know, been able to protect him in jail? Like, that's the thing to look at here. These people, like all of these things, these double standards that they had for Donald Trump when he was a candidate for president of the United States, and now they're clutching their pearls when the same standard is applied to them, including John Bolton. I mean, it's just the story writes themselves. You know, Tim Kaine was talking about Donald Trump's negotiating, and he really just wants the bullying to stop. Let's get a little bit of what Tim Kaine had to say about how Donald Trump should be negotiating this shutdown with the senators in the Democrat caucus who are keeping the government shut down. This is Tim Kaine's advice. Keep in mind, by the way, that Tim Kaine was once Hillary Clinton's choice and the Democrat Party's nominee to be vice president of the United States. This is the advice from Tim Kaine to President Trump. Cut nine.
The president's going about it the wrong way. He's stiffening our spine. Here would be the way he should pressure us. When government reopens, there will be no more firing. There will be no more cancellation of economic development projects. There will be no more clawback of public health monies to Virginia. He started punishing the federal workforce and punishing my Commonwealth and hurting economic development projects his first day in office. He said that there's going to be more pain. It's not an empty threat. We believe him, but he's going to do it anyway. If he wanted to pressure folks to find a path forward, he would say all of that will stop. And we will instead find a solution on this health care debacle that they created with the reconciliation bill.
Did you see what he's doing? He's giving new demands. His new demands are like, stop doing Doge. Stop doing Doge. Trump, you want us to come back? Stop doing Doge. The Doge program and the idea behind it and the thinning out of the federal workforce and the cutting wasteful spending, that's been one of the most popular things that Donald Trump has done. Now, maybe the way in which Elon Musk made some of the decisions, the ham-handed nature, the way that he did it, the dancing on stage with a chainsaw, that might not have been the way that took. But I got to be honest, but he's just adding new demands. Now it's grow the workforce, stop the cuts, go back. But it's not about. He's not saying they'll stop the firing that's gone on during the shutdown, which Donald Trump is taking advantage of the shutdown to do more of it. And Russ Vogt knows what he's doing. But he's saying he wants to undo some of the things that Trump was doing before the shutdown. The making government smaller, more responsive, less wasteful spending. That's what he wants them to pledge. Oh, if you just pledge that you'll spend more, we'll come back, hire more people, stop firing people, grow the government. If you do that, we'll open it back up. That's what they want. And so he's adding it. So he's adding a new set of demands. And then this is his very, very, let's hear his chest thumping. Donald Trump, stop bullying me. Cut number 10.
But on weekends, I travel around Virginia, and my workers are telling me over and over again, the bullying has got to stop, and to stop it, you have to stand up to the bully. We have a president who won't even engage. He hasn't even been willing to engage with congressional leaderships other than the one meeting on September 29th, which, as you know, as soon as it was over, he started to tweet out doctored pictures of Democratic leaders in sombreros and speaking with artificial voices. He's treating this like it's a joke.
I don't know that he's treating the situation like it's a joke, but I do think that he is treating Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries like they're a joke. That's absolutely how he's treating them, because I think that's what they're revealing themselves to be. They're not serious people. They're not able to negotiate. They don't want anything. All they want is to undo the policies that have been passed by the Republican majority. They're trying to nullify the election results. That's what they're trying to do. That's what they want him to negotiate on. And he's like, no. Nope, not going to do that. And I'm not going to do that to get nothing. Trump's getting nothing in return. What is he getting? He's getting the government open back up. That's what the bare minimum that the Democrats should be doing. They're not going to give him any wins. They're saying all we want from you in order to open back up the government is that they want billions more dollars in spending. And Caroline Leavitt did a good job today calling them out for it. I don't think we have that audio, but she did a good job calling them out for what they actually want. But why are they doing it? They're doing it because what he just said is that I'll play it one more time. I'll cut it off when I've heard what I want. Cut number 10.
But on weekends, I travel around Virginia, and my workers are telling me over and over again, the bullying has got to stop, and to stop it, you have to stand up to the bully.
Right there. That's it. They're trying to signal to the people that are getting ready to kick these Democrats out of office because they don't like Democrats. They've lost faith in the Democrat Party. They've lost faith in these leaders that don't stand for anything, who, by the way, they're the ones that they restructured the healthcare system during Obamacare. Remember the whole, you got to vote for the bill, you got to pass the bill to find out what's in it? Well, guess what was in it? What was in it was the continued success of the pharmaceutical companies. And the pharmaceutical companies said, we're not going to keep playing ball unless you give us subsidies. So they had to dump more subsidies in so that the pharmaceutical companies could make money, so the insurance companies could make money. And the system is broken. They need more subsidies, and they're hooked on it. And because it's broken, they need a bailout. That's what they've stood for. And that's what, like, I mean, what they're asking now is for another bailout to the failed system that the Democrats crafted and created in Obamacare. And they want to expand the coverage to illegals. That's what they're asking for. And the reason that they have to look like they're, quote unquote, standing up to the bully, whether they are or not, is because of what's going on in the public where people are losing faith. And normal people, not the far left people who are already bending the knee to this very radical ideology, but to normal people who used to think that the Democrats had something to offer. I'll give you an example. This is a caller into C-SPAN, cut number 14.
I think I'm going to be leaving the Democrat Party because this happens too often, where they're blaming the opposite party when they know they can do what the right thing. They need to do the right thing and reopen this government instead of keeping it shut down like they're hijacking the American people. I've seen it before. We've seen them vote the right way when they're in power. So why the hell can't they vote the right way when they're not in power? So get this government back open, get the American people what they deserve. And this is basically a Schumer shutdown from what I've seen. From what I've been watching on C-SPAN, what they show and what they show the Democrats whining and crying and blaming. That's what I see.
And all you have to do, like, I mean, there are people that are consistent and there are people that are inconsistent. And that's what I just gave a quick shout out to Senator Rand Paul, who I think should be voting to open up government. But he won't, because he's always voted against continuing resolutions. He's like, I'm going to be consistent. I think the continuing resolutions are against my obligation to the people. And he votes against them every single time. And he's one of the few senators here that can claim consistency, because he does it every time. Now, if I were there, I'd probably be with the rest of the Republicans voting to fund it, keep it open, let the TSA get paid, not mess up the airports, not defund, let our military people get paid. I'm fine with a government shutdown, by the way, and I'm happy to have one, because I think that, you know, that's when people see what actually is impacted or isn't impacted, whether or not the world comes to an end. It really shows that the fear that the Democrats try to instill, and a lot of this fear-mongering they do, is misplaced and overblown. I probably would vote to do it, but people like Rand Paul, who vote consistently, he says, I oppose continuing resolutions every single time. If Rand Paul said, I oppose, if he had used the arguments when Democrats were in control to vote against continuing resolutions. His argument was, continuing resolutions are always bad. Don't do continuing resolutions. If he voted for a continuing resolution right now, he would reveal himself to be a hypocrite. He would reveal himself to be unprincipled. But instead, he's voting against it because that's what he does. That's his principle, and that's what he stands on. That is what he stands on. Would they say that it is immoral to shut down the government? It's immoral to hold the government hostage because you disagree with healthcare policy, and you shouldn't do it for, they were saying it back in 2013 about Obama, you shouldn't do it for this president, you shouldn't do it for any future president, except now Donald Trump is in the Oval Office. And it's the only thing they're willing to do. When AOC and Bernie got asked, what can you do to help me? They were honest. They said the thing that would help you the most is if we reopen government, gave you the dignity of getting a paycheck. That's what they thought that the solution would be. And yet the one thing they both had the opportunity to do is vote to fund the government, and they refuse to do it. And it's all because of this showmanship. They need a visual. They need a symbolic victory against Trump, that they got him to cave in some way. And as we're seeing play out, this idea that the Democrats have, they've convinced them that, you know, Trump always chickens out. That's what they think the case is. they are going to go. We're going to go several more weeks, I suspect, maybe more months. And you're going to find that Donald Trump is not going to be backing down and you're not going to get your symbolic win. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
844-500-4242, the number on the Howie Carr Show. Let's take some calls as we finish the show. First up is David in Massachusetts. David, what's on your mind? You're on the Howie Carr Show.
Thanks, Aaron. It was against the will of the American people, Aaron, that they allow these people across the border to live amongst us and let the drug dealers sell drugs to our citizens. We've lost 100,000 a year. So now we're forced. They want to force us to pay for the medical bills, like the guy in Rockland who raped the young girl. He's now in prison. We get to pay for his medical and his food. No taxation without representation. Even in the Bible, St. Paul says, if you don't work, you don't eat. These people don't belong here. They've allowed terrorists and drug dealers and gang members to live amongst us. To hell with that. No more of that, Governor Healey. No more, Mayor Wu. Enough. No taxation without representation. You've allowed evil people to live amongst us. No more.
Thanks for the call, David. Appreciate it. Want to squeeze one more in. Let's go to the other Dave. Dave from New Hampshire. Go ahead.
How you doing? Yeah, listen, all this shutdown is really, it's just an end run or an attempted end run around the big, beautiful bill. That's all it is.
Yep.
It's your only hope because they couldn't win the normal way in Congress. And Trump, no way, like you said, he's not going to back down. This is his signature bill. It's law now, and they can't get over it. It's the law. So that trying shutting down the government, I bet you most people really do understand what's going on.
And how did they learn how to do reconciliation, Dave? You know how they learned it? Because the Democrats did it to them when they were in power. And it wasn't that long ago when they had Democrat control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency. That's what they did. Republicans learned the trick, and they did it when they got power back. The Democrats know all the dirty tricks, and they just think that the Republicans don't have the right to use them because in their worldview, power only exists to serve their political purpose, to keep them in power, and to achieve what it is they want to achieve. And you see the money going to things like healthcare for illegals or all of the other waste that Doge was able to expose. That's when you know. If you want to know someone's values, the saying goes, ask them to show you their budget. You'll be able to tell. Hey, Aaron Chadbourne week comes to an end tomorrow. I'll be back one more day on the Howie Carr Show. Thanks for being with us. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.